Here we go. All righty. So it's nice to see sports teams and those that have an effect, especially on younger people, show that, you know, the seeds they plant just by doing that. And people see students from IUCs, what they're doing, plants a seed. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about some seeding and, you know, seeds are needed to make life. You know, there's all sorts of seeds, small ones and large ones. You got sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds that are pretty good size. Some of them use them for things we want and things we want to grow and things we want to have an effect on other things to cover them up or put some purdies here or there. But, you know, I know the sunflower seeds, you see them eating all the time, especially at baseball games, you know, it's kind of the sunflower seed. You see them chomping and spitting and everything. Sunflower seeds. And they put salt on them generally, the salted ones. But pumpkin seeds, I know people eat them. They save them and they put them in the oven and cook them. And I never did acquire the taste of them. But some people like pumpkin seeds like that and salt them and things. But seeds make a difference. Seeds make things grow. We use them to change things. There's a story about a student from, speaking of IU, MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, you know, a big math and, you know, smart people school, you know, MIT. I've never been there either. Anyways, this one student, he spent his entire summer one time. He would go down to the Harvard University, and he would go out to the football field, and he'd put on, wear this black and white striped shirt, and he'd walk up and down the field for 10 or 15 minutes, and he'd be throwing bird seed out everywhere and blowing a whistle. And then he would just walk off the field, and he did this the whole summer, you know, just go out there every day, wear that same shirt, blowing a whistle, throwing the bird seed out. And then finally, in the end of summer came, fall started, football season started up like it is now. Well, Harvard had its first home football game. Well, as the game was about to begin, the referee walked out on the field and he blew his whistle. You know what happened? You know what happened? The game had to be delayed a half an hour till the birds got back off the field. So the student from MIT, that's what he wrote his thesis on to graduate. So now, had you been watching him beforehand, you know, throughout the summer, you might have saw him walking up and down the field in a striped shirt, blowing a whistle. You might not have understood what his objective was. But once the football season began, then you knew what the objective was. The purpose was pretty clear. So he did all that to accomplish a couple of goals. You know, first of all, he wrote his thesis on conditioned response, you know, planting the seed and a response to it, the response by those birds and, Pavlov's dog back in our day, so to speak, you know. But the conditions of response to graduate from MIT. And then the second thing, he just really didn't like Harvard. He just wanted to aggravate the Harvard student body. So accomplished two things, and he did it with the power of some seeds. And seeds make a difference. You know, we're all plant seeds. You know, we all are planting seeds. But what are we planting them for? You know, are we planting them for discord? Are we planting seeds of bitterness? Or are we planting seeds of hope? Planting seeds of salvation? You know, seeds are powerful. Even the smallest ones make a big difference. And that's where we're going to be in Matthew 13 today. Matthew 13, 31 through 35, although we're going to focus on the mustard seed today. Matthew 31 to 35, chapter 13. This is the third of three parables in the chapter from the beginning. But it says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke of all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. So the mustard seed, really small, really small. I used to carry one around with me in my other Bible. I had it in a little plastic sandwich bag, but once you close it and open up your Bible so many times, it has disappeared. It's so small, I don't think there's even powder in there anymore. It's just gone. That's how small the mustard seed is. But it can grow into a huge plant, you know, 6, 7, some say 10, 12 feet tall, and has deep roots in it. And some call it a large bush. We see the Lord uses the term. He refers to it as a tree in this passage. You know, sometimes, you know, the seed size doesn't matter. You know, pumpkin seed's pretty big, but it only gives a pumpkin. You know, the mustard seed, the plant that comes out is pretty huge, pretty strong. So sometimes we put too emphasis on size and numbers. And, you know, churches sometimes look at size and quantity and, you know, they look, well, how many people? You know, how much money are you taking in, you know? They look at those things, and then they say, well, they've got growth because they have these such large worship services, and they have big bands, and all these songs, and huge youth programs, and a great pastor, speaker, and all the activities they offer. You know, they've got gyms, and playgrounds, and coffees, and bars, and snack shops, and they've got all those things. You know, you could say they have it all. And none of that's bad, necessarily. All of that's fine. But is your life being changed? You know, that's what the seed's supposed to do. It's supposed to change things. It's supposed to replace weeds. It's supposed to change things. You know, what are they sowing? You know, the seeds are being sown in what's growing. You know, what's being produced out of it. So, like I say, those things aren't inherently bad, but where's the focus? You know, what seeds are being planted, what's growing, and what's produced out of it. You know, quality is a little better sometimes than quantity. Maturity of the church, where the word is, God is the most powerful thing being shared, is really important. You know, the truth being told according to God's word, no matter what. You know, in gentleness. But you got to stay strong with God's word, what he says, you know, the truth that God said. And hopefully you've all experienced the truth that will set you free, as God says. You know, a place where your life is being changed, or I hope at least challenged. You know, it's making a difference. Changed to be a child of God and an example of Christ. You know, changed to be where your trust is in Christ and not on yourself. A change where you're all in on Jesus. You know, it's not because you like the music, not because you like the songs, not because even you like the preacher or the pastor. It's about God. It's about what he's saying to you, speaking to you. Change that in turn makes a difference in the lives of the others in God's kingdom and those God's calling to himself. You can make a difference. You know, size doesn't limit you on what you can do through God. You know, Dad always said if there was anything to size, I'm not sure it applies in all cases, but he always said if there's anything to size, a cow could outrun a rabbit. So that was always his saying. But you know, David wasn't very big, but he was big enough for God to use to defeat Goliath. He was big enough. Gideon's army of 300 wasn't very large, but it was big enough for God to use to defeat 135,000 soldiers of the enemy. You know, also God says where two or three are gathered, there he is. Doesn't take a lot. It just takes God. And us being part of it, us being obedient. you know, the seed's planted, like those football players, like I said, plant the seed, you know, just by observing that, letting them do that on the field. You know, there's probably some places they wouldn't even be allowed to do that. They're allowed to do that, and they show that to people around them. They planted a seed that others could see. You know, my grandson, we just got a picture of him yesterday. You know, planting a seed just, you know, lets somebody do something, you know, or introduces them to something. You know, he sent us a picture. Apparently his friend has an uncle that has a small airplane. Well, my grandson's pulling it out. He let him pull it out of the hangar, the airplane. It's got one of these electric or whatever hydraulic things. It's just not a huge plane. It's a small plane, but here's a, you know, an 8-year-old pulling a plane out of the hangar, you know, so he was pretty, I'm not sure how big a seed that planted. hope not too large, but pulling an airplane by himself, I'm sure, planted a seed in his mind and thinking about things like that. Now, this parable has a couple of different thoughts to it, based on parables prior to it. You know, it's there are those that would, there's three parables here. Some that would call the first parable about the parable of the sower would be the counterfeit Christian. Christian that takes things, maybe the seed sown, maybe they gathered it, but they don't keep it. You know, the seed doesn't take root. You know, they have the opportunity, but it's not there. And there's several different things that the first parable goes to. The second parable sometimes is referred to as the counterfeit doctrine. You've got the good plants, and then you've got the weeds that come up among them. And there's another doctrine that's trying to fight the truth, and that's the second one. And the third one here is the mustard seed and the yeast is, excuse me, some will call that the parable of the counterfeit church. And like I say, there's two interpretations. You know, the one interpretation, which a lot go to, is this is pertaining to the kingdom of God. It starts tiny, and it grows in power, and it goes all over the world. You know, it starts as just a mustard seed, becomes a strong, sturdy plant. You know, started as a baby, then a group of disciples, then about 120. And then 3,000 were saved that day. And then it continues on and until what we have today. And but a small seed, making a huge plant that offers shelter and fruit and life and deep roots that stand firm in the storms of life. That's one interpretation of the passage. This is not one he goes on to explain, at least in the Bible, to his disciples, as he does some of the others. The other is that the second one's similar, and that the Lord is the man. He goes to the field or the world, and then he spreads the gospel or the seed. And then again, it's a tiny mustard seed, but it grows higher than any of the other herbs. He says it becomes a tree. Some would argue that a herb can't become a tree. You know, that doesn't work like that. It's becoming something else from what it was intended to be. It's not what it was. Now, trees in the Bible signify God's strength. You know, it talks about oak trees or cedar trees. They're big, they're strong, they've got God's strength. They've got the power to protect and to provide. And some would say this church that's grown up and turned into a tree is off course. One that becomes something other than what it was supposed to be. And in the previous parables and other parts of the Bible, birds, you know, it says come to set on their branches. Birds aren't a good thing always in parables. Birds are part of the evil that try to take away the good that is being sown. And we can see that in the other parables. In the first parable that's in this chapter, Matthew 13:4 says, he's talking about a farmer went out to sow a seed, and 13:4 said, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. So it didn't go anywhere. It didn't get a chance to grow. It didn't get a chance to spread. The birds came and took it away before anybody could grab hold of it. And then down in Matthew 13, 18 and 19, verses 18 and 19, Jesus explains it a little bit then. He says, listen to then what the parable of the sower means. It says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So evil's eager to swoop in and to take away the fruit and the seeds and, the seed that scatters, you know. And I believe churches have let evil influences swoop in. And I think we see that today and be scattered instead of the seeds of truth and the seeds of salvation. You know, Christianity is spreading. You know, the churches are spreading Christianity, but others have come in to sort of roost that want us to grow further or want to grow further in their own self-interest, grow further in their own ways that hinder the true gospel. You know, they do bring in, it's okay in with them. You know, they bring the time's changed with them. They bring it's okay to change. We talked a little bit last week, you know, the Bible's antiquated, you know. It's like our Constitution's antiquated. It needs changed, but the Bible doesn't change. God doesn't change. People try to change it, but God does not. The Bible does not change. Its words are true. So there are people that come in to boost their own self-interest in churches and to boost their own agenda in churches, and we've let those in. So we're going to have an invitation in just a few minutes. Then we're going to have a communion. But I wanted to finish off, the tiniest seeds can grow into the largest plants, like we talked about. And, you know, the tiniest seeds are just what you can do in life every day. You know, a bedtime story to a child or a grandchild, you know, a Bible story to them, a VBS program that you have to a group of kids, you know, a call to a neighbor, you know, a conversation with a coworker. An invitation to church, you know, an offer to pray for someone, a kind word or act to a stranger. You know, all of those are planting seeds. They're planting seeds of hope. And that, you know, the small influence has such great potential with God calling the shots. He can make the big out of the small. He can make it grow so much. You know, and sometimes we give up, I think, just because we don't see things happening. You know, we think we're planting seeds, but nothing's happening. We don't see the rest of it. But, you know, we're all called to do something different. You know, seeds take time. You know, you plant the corn seed in March, April, you got to wait. It's not going to be done in May or June. It's going to be September, October. You got to wait for it to reach growth, to reach maturity. And sometimes we don't see those things, and we may never see them personally, see the growth or the harvest, but the seed started the process. You know, you got to plant the seed. Others may water. Others may see it grow, help it in the growth. And others may do the harvest. But you got to plant the seed first. That's what we're called to do. Plant the seed. Matthew, you want to finish with Matthew 17, 14 through 20 this morning. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you had the faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Faith as little as the mustard seed can move mountains. And I know you got mountains in your life. We've all got mountains in our life. You know, think about the circumstances, you know, the tribulations, the trials, the physical ailments, the financial issues, maybe job issues. Those are all mountains in our life. But we need to find those that are causing us to fall short of what God has for us, His plan for us. We need to trust Him in it. We need to have that faith. That's just as much as a mustard seed can move those mountains. Got to have that trust in God. Just a little faith can defeat a giant. Just a mustard seed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this lesson, Lord, that a mustard seed, one of the smallest ones, can grow in such a mighty and strong thing. Mustard seed can move mountains in our lives if we just have the faith, just a little bit. Lord, all we have to do is trust. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us in that, just to pray for your will in our lives. I pray that we can be obedient to your will, be obedient to what you call us to do, and Lord, be active in what you call us to do. And doing all that with a faith and a trust in you, Lord, we just pray that you would use us, that the seeds we sow are for you, Lord. They're not seeds of bitterness or seeds of depression or seeds getting people down. They're seeds of encouragement. They're seeds of hope. They're seeds of faith in other people's lives. We just pray that you would help us in that, Lord, and we pray that those seeds that you would grow, that you would water, that you would strengthen, that you would grow, that you would mature, and they would be ready for your harvest. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time. Just help us to, when we fall short of just that mustard seed of faith, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.